should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Over 400 solar panels are now powering the School of Architecture and Design Innovation at Victoria University in Wellington after being installed on the roof of the building in July. The solar powers are expected to save up to 21 metric tons of carbon dioxide released into the environment each year. The initiative is part of the university's Zero Carbon Plan, which describes using the campuses as a living lab for climate action research. I spoke to Ellen Brandt, Chair of Sustainable Energy Systems at Victoria University, about the project and what more needs to be done to make renewable energy more accessible in Aotearoa. So the solar panels on top of the School of Architecture and Design Innovation building are a part of the Victoria University's Zero Carbon Plan. Could you explain a little bit more about what this plan entails?
We have, in line with what's happening in the rest of the economy, as we all know, we want to just transition to net zero carbon emissions economy by 2050. And apart from what we do elsewhere in the economy, it will be up to organisations to play their part. And Victoria University of Wellington, along with other academic institutions, are looking at ways of reaching net zero carbon as an organisation. And how we source our energy is a key concern as part of that that story or narrative. So, we're looking increasingly in generating more of our electricity on site. And what we now have in the Faculty of Architecture, or the Tower of Campus, rather, is we have about, if I recall, about 160 kilowatts capacity of solar PV that we installed there. Obviously, we know how solar PV works in the sense that we have electricity when the sun shines, so and that doesn't necessarily meet the demand profile of the building per se. So we have an agreement with the retailer that if we generate more electricity than we actually consume, we sell that back into the grid. And obviously when we need electricity and we're not generating ourselves, then we can buy that from the grid. Now this is just one step in our story with solar farms. Obviously our building structures are not appropriate to accommodate solar PV. To the magnitude that we need to generate all of our electricity. So we have also started discussions with solar farms. We're building around 2 gigawatts of solar farm capacity around the country. And just to put that into context, we have a total capacity in the country of about 10 gigawatts. So it's about 20% that we're adding. And there's agreements that you can buy that electricity then directly from the solar farms. And we're then also looking at other options in the campus. At the moment, we're using gas for some of the heating in some of the buildings. And we're looking at either electrifying that with heat pumps or looking at alternatives like biogas. So it's all about what it's about is looking at what's our total carbon footprint as a university, and what appropriate measures can we put in place to reduce that. And obviously, the only way to get to absolute zero is to stop business, right? So we'll never be able to get to absolute zero. So we are also looking at carbon offsetting, basically planting trees to offset our carbon.
Could you talk a little bit about the technology of these specific panels and how efficiently they operate?
So in the solar PV space now, you're typically looking for each panel about 300 to 400 watts. And just to put that into context, think about your LED lights. That's typically, what, 5 or 10 watts. So these PV panels increasingly now are what we also call bifacial PV panels. And what that means is obviously they generate electricity from the sun's rays that hit surface facing the sun, but at the back end they also generate electricity with light that's reflected from the roof itself, and so you're getting more efficient panels. We're typically sitting around 20% efficiency with these PV panels, and it was designed that we look at how the sun moves over different seasons in the year, and as I said, we look at our load profiles, and so we orientate the tilt of those PV panels to optimize how many PV panels we can get onto the roof, because if you're putting it at a tilt, obviously, if they're too close to one another, then you're going to have shading from one panel to the next. So, you want to optimize your roof space, change that tilt so that we get maximum amount of electricity over the course of the year.
So knowing that large-scale urban developments of renewable energy like these are possible, how quickly could we see solar energy become a realistic alternative to fossil fuels in everyday life?
Yeah, we already seeing that. We have distributed solar systems now across the country, many thousands of them, in fact. So just small solar PV systems. So I have one at my house as an example, just 2 kilowatts of solar PV panels with a lithium ion battery. And what that actually does is, what you see in the economy is that we have these morning and evening peaks demands. So everybody gets up in the morning, put on a kettle, go about their business, and so that's a peak in the electricity usage. And then everybody goes off to work or school, and so that sort of flattens off. And then in the evenings when everybody comes back, we have the bigger peak again. And so what you have with these distributed systems is it takes away that morning and evening peak, because then we're operating with a battery. So the battery gets charged between 12 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning, when the demand in the economy is low, electricity prices are low, and we can just use the grid. And during the day, if the sun is shining, the battery gets charged. If the sun is not shining, again, we can purchase electricity from the grid. So overall reduces the demand in the country, and what that effectively means is that we are less reliant on our gas generators in the economy. Except, of course, if we have a dry period when our hydro dam levels are low. But otherwise, what happens is largely it's gas generated. So we want to reduce our electricity to demand. And so these distributed solar PV systems in our urban space, integrating appropriate storage technologies with the generations is really the way for us to go to reduce our fossil fuel demand from an electricity perspective. Obviously, our challenge is it's not only about electricity. We're using all kinds of other energy carriers. Think about our cars and the buses and so on, our modes of transportation. And so we see that increased electrification, right? So we have more EVs, and we now have phasing of electric buses, etc., etc. But that all means that we need more electricity. So Transpower has indicated that we're going to need in order of 2 to 3 times our current generating capacity. And fine, we can do that with big power stations, but then you're just moving electrons around in the economy. What we want to do is increase the amount of power that we generate closer to where it's consumed. And a study that's now been done by Ariake is looking at these distributed solar PV systems, what we call a virtual power pool, a power plant, a VPP. Because if you start thinking about thousands of these solar PV systems, then cumulatively it equates to actually quite a big power station. And you can remotely manage how those batteries are used, when electric vehicles are charged. So we have these smart grid technologies that we are starting to use more effectively, better communication between the different devices. So yeah, quite an exciting space in terms of how the power system is actually going through some significant changes.
And so finally, just in regards to the upcoming election, what more do we need from parties so that renewable energy options become more accessible?
Yeah, what we need from our parties is that we need some interventions in the electricity market to make it more accessible for smaller generators to participate effectively in that market, and cumulatively, as I said, with things like virtual power plants coming into play. Yeah, we just need a lot more certainty of electricity prices. What we've seen happening now overseas, governments haven't intervened in the market, and in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we tend for the government to stay hands off with the market, but that hasn't actually helped in the transition. So we're going to need more intervention in the electricity market.
That was Alan Brent, Chair of Sustainable Energy Systems at Victoria University Wellington, speaking to me about the newly implemented solar panels on the School of Architecture and Design and Innovation, and what more needs to be done for renewable energy in Aotearoa. You're listening to The Wire on 95BFM. We're going to have a song and then a quick break, and then we'll be back. This is Right Side of My Neck by Faye Webster.